You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
I make this statement to other people. I tell people all the time, look, I understand that teenagers are going to be teenagers, but my teenagers ain't regular teenagers. So the things that my people deal with are not necessarily the things that other people deal with. And the things that that other people tolerate are not things that we tolerate at 1440. You bring your kid to 1440, you allow your student to come to 1440. There's one standard in 1440, and that is love. Unconditional and absolute, outright, crazy love. They will be known by their love one for another. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. There will never again be any form of a clique or of drama or of strife in 1440. Not associated with it, not going to have it. We are going to take that devil, kick him in the teeth, and throw him from the highest building that we can find. Not going to happen. Because it's the beginning of the end of a great movement of God. You ever wonder why there are so many different religions? Let me tell you, they didn't start pretty. You ever wonder why there are so many different denominational divisions? Let me tell you, they didn't start by somebody in the background saying, hey, you go be Methodist and I'm going to go and be Catholic. And then y'all go be Baptist. No, that's not how that started. Blood was shed. Wars were fought. Brothers turned against each other and people hated each other in the name of him who says of himself, I am love. So they took I am love and made it a vestige of hatred. And ever since then, Satan has been attempting to come between the people of God. Why? Because he understands that if you could ever come to a common place, that the scripture that says one could put 1,000 to flight, but two could put 10,000 to flight, comes into activity in your midst and in your life, and you start doing the super abundant, over supernatural, absolutely phenomenal things for the kingdom of God. You start seeing people get saved by the droves. You want to know how a church goes from 120 people in an upper room receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit to 5,000 men added to them in one day, not counting women and children? The verse that says, and they were all together on one accord. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together. That's not just their geographical location. There's a tie that binds them. And I want you to understand this. There's a tie that binds you. You are a peculiar people. Don't be so peculiar that you're peculiar against each other. Be radical in your love. Be radical in your acceptance. Be radical in how you form bonds and friendships and how you portray Jesus to other people. I want to read you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is taken from verse 1 through 3 and says, and this is in King James Version, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So I couldn't give you spiritual stuff. I had to talk to you like physical people. I was unable to get into the spiritual things because you were so busy being physical. You were so busy disliking people and gossiping and backbiting. I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people because there was nothing spiritual about you. That's the John version of what Paul was writing to the church of Corinth. Watch this. Even as unto babes in Christ. So I had to bust you all the way back down to babies in Christ because there was no way you were going to understand the advanced things if you can't get the simple love one for another right. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division. What makes you carnal? Envying and strife and division. What makes you a baby? Envying and strife and division. What makes you unable to ascertain the heavy, supernatural, warfare type things of God? Envying and strife and division. Let me tell you something. If we're going to raise up a generation of warriors, we're going to have to get past envy, strife, and division. On every level. On every level, at every turn, at every vestige, at every, even if you have the slightest inkling of an emotion that might turn you toward envying, strife, and division. If something is driving a wedge between you and one of the brethren, you handle it immediately. I'm talking this is so critical, because if you let it fester, it will plant itself and develop and grow into something that you can't control. That you can't control. Satan in the Garden of Eden, what is he? A snake. You look over the book of Revelations. What does Satan become? A dragon. Somebody's been feeding him. He's grown. Envy, strife, division will kill a move of God. And it won't kill God's desire to move. It'll just disqualify you. I know, Pastor John, that's hard. How are you going to say something? I'm just saying. I'm just being truthful. I'm just saying. He's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's not coming back for a racist bride. He's not coming back for a gossiping bride. He's not coming back for a sexist bride. He's not coming back for a bride that's backbiting, talking about folks, got all kinds of strife and drama. He's coming back for a pure bride. Yes. Are you the pure bride? Brother Copeland writes this: envying, strife, and division had kept these people in the natural or carnal state. It had so stunted their spiritual growth that they were unable to understand some of the things Paul wanted to teach them. It had halted Paul's ability to effectively minister to them. Their carnal minds could not comprehend those things, because the things of God must be spiritually discerned. You can't get this in your natural carnal thought process. You're going to have to get this with your spirit. So many people get left behind in the dust of discipleship. Why? Because they're trying to understand things with their head. You're going to have to get some of this stuff with your spirit. There are going to have to be some parts of this that you can't get with your head. You're going to have to get with your spirit. I want you to look at this. When we're talking about raising up an army, and I'm going to get off my soapbox. Joel chapter 2, verse 6. This is the part of Joel that I didn't read to you last week. I started at verse 12. You ought to be glad there's a lot of verses. Starting verse 6 says this: before them the people writhe with pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. This is a description of an effective army. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. How do you become an effective army? You march in lockstep with the person who is assigned next to you. I don't care if you like their hair color, their taste in music, or what they did to you in the past, or what they're going to do to you in the future. There's a revelation. Yeah. Right. You ought to start forgiving folks for what they might do.
Yeah, that's right.
God forgave you for what you might have done.
Yeah. That's right.
When he died on the cross, every sin that you would ever do was in the future. And so he said, God, I know they're going to be adulterers and backbiters and gossips and crazy folk, and they're going to act a fool in my name. They're going to kill each other, but I don't care. I'm still, it is finished. There was no stipulation placed on it is finished. So you ought to, it is finished, some people in your life. All right, so anyway, I'm going to carry on. That one was free. I'm going to carry on. Listen, the title of this, and this is so fitting because tomorrow is National Day of Prayer. I'm going to go ahead and start with the end. Warfare is done on your knees. Warfare happens in your prayer closet. Warfare happens when you take authority and when you start asserting the word of God, when you start applying your righteousness. When you start to step into a place of offense instead of defense with the tools that God has given you. And the tool that he's given you, the most effective one, is this word and your faith. That's where warfare starts. That's where warfare ends. Is in prayer. You want to see your nation go back to God, then you start praying for it. You want to see your generation turn back to fervent, absolute abandon, love of God. You start praying. Yes. You start believing. You start. Yes. You start. Let me ask you something. If the people, if the young people of Boston can take the streets and passionately protest something that they feel is injustice and start looting and rioting with all of that passion, what would happen if you took the same passion and demonstrated the principles of your God? I ain't going to get a whole lot of amens out of that. Some people don't agree. Oh, you ought not talk about that. That's a terrible situation. You don't know what all them people went through. I don't care. Praise God. I'm on camera. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. Where's your passion? We sit at home, eat Oreos, and go, praise God. So maybe if the generation that said that they are the greatest generation that the earth has ever seen stood up and was that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and got just as upset when someone said abortion. I'm not telling you, what did I just say a minute ago? I said warfare starts on your knees. I'm not telling you that you're going up and handing out, standing with signs and picketing. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I refuse to let you know what my position is on any of that. I will tell you my position on one thing. This word solves everything. Yes. And if there's nobody applying it, then there's no solution.
That's good. That's right.
No, y'all gonna wake up in about 15 minutes. All right, so here we go. You were made for war. Remember that last week? I was made for war. I was made for battle. Watch this. Created to represent. If you put re and present together, you have represent. So watch this. Today, I got delayed right before lunch. And so Laurie sends me a text message and said, I'm here. Are you? Where you at? I was supposed to be at a place. And so I had to call her and say, I'm not going to make it. Can you represent us? And she said, I will represent us. Normally, I am the designated representative of 1440. But I couldn't go and represent. I couldn't go re-present 1440. Yes. So someone else had to go re-present the interests of this youth group. Normally that's my job, but Lori went in my place as my representative or my representor. You got that?
Yeah.
Christ calls you, Jesus says you are his representative. You represent him. At every turn, at every circumstance, in every situation, when the devil comes at you or when the church is looking at you, you represent Christ. When the devil says that you can't do, you aren't, and you're not good enough, you just represent the finished works of Jesus. You may be saying all that craziness, but here you go, devil. I want to represent you with this word that says who I am, and it also says who you are.
Yeah, come on.
I'm getting ahead of myself. So, you were created to represent or to represent the victory of Jesus in the face of adversity and attack. To call the actions and assertions of the enemy illegal and powerless. Somebody needs to tell him that what he's doing to your generation is illegal and powerless. It only has power to the extent that you allow it to have power. But when you say what you're doing is not only illegal, but it's ineffective, then it becomes illegal and ineffective. Jesus has already won the victory. He has already overcome the world. His death paid the price for your redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 teaches us that. That his death was good enough for your victory. His victory over death gave you victory over everything concerning the kingdom of darkness. When he conquered the grave and took the keys of death and hell, there was no longer any need for you to gain victory.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to win anymore. It's already been won.
Yeah, come on.
You're not contending for the victory. Yeah. You're not trying for the prize. That's already been settled.
Yeah,
that's already been settled. He has overcome the world. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16:33 says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." There is no if. Satan is going to make a play for it. He is going to try. You will have tribulation, but watch this. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Does it say, let me ask you something. Does it say overcoming the world?
No.
Mm-mm. Does he say, "I'm trying to overcome this world"?
No.
He says, "I've already done it."
Yeah.
"It is finished." It is finished. It is finished. It is. I wish that you look, if you don't get anything else out of this message, go home tonight and declare over some things. It is finished.
Yeah.
Mom, dad, you can't pay a bill. It's finished.
Yeah.
It is finished.
That's good.
His victory is enforced in your life with the force of your faith. That's the only way that victory gets applied in your life. The victory is already yours. You already have it. So if you have a rash and you go to the store and you buy the cream that is the healer for the rash and you take it home, you take the cream out of the Walmart bag, set the cream on your dresser, and you look at the cream. Your rash will not go away without supernatural intervention. You will need to pray. And even then, you got to apply that. But if you decide that you are not going to apply anything, both natural and supernatural, to your rash, you just going to be one rashy individual. But until you take the cream, take the top off of it, put your fingers in it, rub it together, apply it on the affected area, it will not work for you. Righteousness works the same way. The word works the same way. If you look at it, you just take your Bible, go home, put it on the stand, and just stare at that joker like something supernatural is just going to pop out of the pages. That does not work.
Yeah. Come on.
The formula is you apply what God has already purchased for you.
Yeah.
Young person, go to your school, start applying the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go in your room, start applying the word. There's a bomb in Gilead. Some of y'all, I ain't got time to teach that right now. I'm just saying. I say that, I'm acting like I'm preaching to adults. All the adults in the room got it. All the kids are like, huh? Look, just trust me, it works. Go look at 1 John chapter 5. If you want to know what the bomb in Gilead is, look it up. It's biblical. That's some homework for you. 1 John chapter 5. Watch this. Every time I read this scripture, it makes me want to just go run around the room. Verse 3 through 4. For this is the love of God, that we kept his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It's not hard. People tell, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. Whatever. It is not hard to be a Christian. All I got to do is realize God loves me. I love God. It's done. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You apply the force of your faith to overcome the world. You put your faith on this word and you say, I'm going to apply that. And you watch it turn around. You watch your situations turn around. I would that some of you listen every Monday morning. We do a Monday morning jump start. You need to go and not only look at it, but share it. You want to become a social media evangelist? Share the Monday morning jump start.
Yeah.
Put that on your feed. Yeah. Stick that on your wall.
Yeah.
Put that on your history. Tweet that.
Yeah.
Snapchat the link. I don't care. Whatever it is you got to do, get that word out. And you watch things start to overcome.
Yeah.
Things start to change. Things start to turn around. You cannot keep saying, I wish my school would be saved and then do nothing. You can't keep saying, I want my family to be saved and then do nothing. The faith without works is dead. You got to actually do something.
Yeah.
I know that we always teach, oh, you ain't got to work for it. Well, you don't got to work to be righteous, but you got to apply righteousness. I'm getting ahead of myself. Watch this. So battle for the believer does not look like normal physical carnal battle. It is very different. In physical worldly battle warfare, there are two opposing forces that are attempting to obtain victory. In spiritual warfare, watch this. In spiritual warfare, God has already obtained the victory. So your place in spiritual warfare is to maintain what God has obtained.
Yeah.
It's not your job to win it. You just got to stay in the winner's circle.
Yeah. That's good.
That's all you got to do. Now, some people say, though, that ain't battle. Oh, yeah, that's battle.
Yeah.
That's battle because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the first thing that he will steal from you is your identity.
Yeah.
I am the righteousness of God. Satan will say, no, you're not. I am holy. No, you're not. That's what he'll say. No, you're not. I am holy. You see what you did yesterday? I am holy. I know what you thought about. I am holy. He'll come to steal that before he can ever kill you because he realizes he can't touch you until you step out of the place that God has placed you. See, God has given, he set up your identity to be a protector for you. Your identity is a buffer for everything that is the kingdom of darkness. Everything. It surrounds you like that belt of truth. It surrounds you. When you know the truth, It surrounds you, your entire surrounding. So you know your power. You know how to respond when adversity comes upon you. So when something happens and you need angelic force, you realize that you can command angels. But if you're questioning your holiness, you will question whether or not you can command angels. Yeah. And if he can get you to question it, you won't do it. And if you don't do it, there's nothing applied. I believe that there are so many angels standing on go with Nikes on going, please just tell us to do something. You bashing your head against the wall. There are angels all over the world standing in teenagers' bedrooms, watching them with the blade. Going, if you would just put that down and tell us to go destroy your issue, yeah, we will destroy it. Yeah. But we can't move until you say something.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So your place in spiritual warfare is to maintain what God has already obtained. Brother Copeland wrote in his partner letter this month, we don't do battle, we do victory. We don't do battle, we do victory. Let me tell you something. Enforcing your victory is the battle that the Bible talks about. But you don't have to fight the devil. You don't have to. Stop fighting someone who's already been beat. You don't have to fight Satan. All you have to do is stay who you are.
Yeah.
That's why it's so imperative that you understand who you are in Christ. But all you got to do is stay you. Do you, baby, do you.
Yeah.
You do you. You do you. Let Satan do him. You do you. He knows that he can't win. He knows the book too. He knows the word too. That's why he told Jesus, throw yourself down from the temple. One that doesn't say in a word that he will command his angels concerning you. Bad interpretation of really good scripture.
Yeah.
You just be who God made you to be. And that is victory in and of itself.
That's right.
You don't have to work or to battle to be righteous. You have already been called, named. Your identity is the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. You've already been named it. You do, however, need to apply righteousness in every situation. This is spiritual warfare. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to do as much of this as we can do legally until somebody tells me that church is over and I got to go. But I promise you this, we're going to do all of this. So stay tuned. If we don't get it all done today, we're going to do all of this. I refuse. Let me tell you something. God revealed something to me today while I was sitting at my desk. He said, what is going to happen at Southwest Believers Convention is going to be breakthrough phenomenal. It will change nations. And generations will be impacted. Not just this generation, but every generation to come until the coming of Jesus will be impacted because of what happens. But so my job right now is to get you ready, baby. This is boot camp. Remember, I told you you are ready to get ready.
Yes.
Now you are. Now, and we started talking about preparing. Last week was all about preparing. And there were those of you who were up here at this altar just interceding and saying, I'm ready to get ready. I want to prepare the way of the Lord. We return to you with crying and fasting and weeping and mourning. We lie here weeping between porch and altar. Pour out your spirit, God. We are serious about this thing. Let me tell you something. It starts at a place of supplication and prayer, unlike you've ever prayed before. My mama used to say, you know somebody's crying when they got that real good snotty nose from your belly crying.
Yeah.
You know, look, some of y'all don't know what it is to get a real butt whooping. Look, you can be mad at Pastor John you want to and write all the emails you can send on your email inbox. But I promise you this, if America turned back to butt whoopings, we'd have a different group of folks. I didn't do crazy too much. Your mom's like, my grandmama will beat me. When I was young, look, everybody on the block got to beat you. And you, I don't know if you ain't never experienced no real beating until your mama knocked the pause in you. Do you? Some of y'all don't know what the pause is. The pause is this. When your mama hit you so hard, you went, That's the pause. That long period of time when you can't say nothing. All you can do is stand there and just marinate in the pain. That's all you can do. That's what will make you remember not to do it again. You'll be like, I really want to do that, but my mama knocked the pause in me last time. And so I remember the pause. I can't do that. I can't go with y'all tonight. I can't do all that craziness. I'm just saying. There need to be a return to the pause. I'm going to leave y'all alone. But that's that kind of preparation I'm talking about. The thing where deep cries to deep, where the deep inside you says, I want my nation back and I'm not leaving until I get it. I want to see the sick healed and I'm not leaving until I get it. I want to raise the dead and I'm not leaving till I get it. I want to see daily salvations and I'm not leaving until I get it. Until there is a line of cars coming into this property saying, I want to be saved. Tell me how to get saved. Until I can't plan not one other youth event because I'm standing in the parking lot going, Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you, and somebody bring me some water. Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you. Until it doesn't end. You got to see that thing. Desire that. Desire that. And so we're going to prepare a generation to go to battle. Because that's the ground that you've been given. The day of Pentecost, 5,000 being added to them, that was the tip of the iceberg. That was like the beginning. People started getting added to the church so much so that they couldn't count anymore. The Bible just started saying things like many. Many were added to them. Several. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. So we're going to learn how to be warriors. Watch this. For though we walk in the flesh, this is verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we did not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So let's dissect that. Here we go. Verse 3. Walk in the flesh versus war according to the flesh. That word walk literally means to live. So the Amplified Bible says, though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. So this is literally talking about how you live. This is a daily lifestyle of warfare. Daily lifestyle of engaging in spiritual warfare. You know when the devil comes in and starts to defeat you? He comes in and starts to defeat you when you think that warfare only happens on Wednesday night at 7:15. When you think that your Bible is only important on Monday and Tuesday, but by Wednesday you're tired of it, and Thursday you don't want to read it anymore, and then Friday you just want to hang out with your homies. That's when the devil starts to gain ground. You don't want him to gain any ground. Don't let that happen. How do you not let that happen? Well, John, you trying to make me work some more, Pastor. I don't understand. He just said it. Would I have to work to be righteous? No, but you do have to apply righteousness. Righteous people enjoy their word. Because every page in this Bible tells you who you are. Reveal something else about who you are. And I don't know about you, but I like it when people talk about me. In a good way. Some people be saying some stuff that y'all need to check with me to see whether or not it's really true. Just saying. Okay. I like it when people talk about me in a good way. I love it. I love it. Pastor John, that's so conceited. No, baby, that's not conceited. That's because they are reaffirming what I'm trying to be. I'm attempting to show forth my righteousness. And when someone else sees my righteousness, it means that I've been successful. And I can see their righteousness. Back in the hood, we had a saying, game recognize game. Yes. Wow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My sister's over there in the back like, yes. What that means is I can recognize what you are because it's what I am. I can recognize someone who has truly come to know who they are in Christ. Because we don't have to start off the conversation with, man, yesterday it was so terrible. Uh-uh. No, we skip all that. We go straight to what's important. Yeah. Man, God is saying this. He's doing this. He is, man, I'm seeing this in the spirit. I love sitting down with my youth pastor buddies. Love it. Love it. I got a group of dudes. We small, but we're growing. I got a group of dudes that we sit down and we just, hey, look, I saw this, and we talk about you. And all the other yous. We had this girl get delivered from this. Well, I had this boy get delivered from this. Really? Did you have this happen? Yeah, I had this happen. What'd you preach on this day? I preached this. What did you preach? I preached this. That's called iron sharpening iron. And that's a daily lifestyle. That's not a one-time event. All right, we're going to get beyond the first word. Here we go. The verse says flesh. The word flesh there literally means human, physical nature or mortal nature. So it says, though we walk or we live according to the flesh, the human physical nature or the mortal nature, we do not war according to the flesh. So watch this. The word war means army, soldiers, or a company of soldiers. So truth be told, is that English translation missed just a little bit of interpretation because it means like a standing army. It does not necessarily, we ain't got to the part where it actually means physical warfare. It means an army of people. So basically it says, though we live in the flesh, we are not an army like a flesh army. Though we live in the real world, we are not of the real world, and our army, our detachment, our regiment does not look like a regiment with M16s. We're not that. That is not what we are. We don't engage in this thing from a physical standpoint. And we don't even look like what you would call an army. Baby, they won't let me in the military. They're like, you got to lose a person and a half before we let you into this military. You got too much going on. You got too much love. Too much. Too much happening. They won't let me into the military. I got bad eyesight. Praise God, that's getting healed. I went to the doctor to get checked. They say with your age, you're supposed to get worse. The doctor looked at me and said, your eyesight got better. I said, that ain't nothing but Jesus. Off up in my eyes, doing what he do. Praise God. They won't let me in the regular army, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm in this army. Yeah. And so are you. Yeah. So when the Bible says, though we walk according to the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, what he says is everybody is accepted into this army that would want to come and be a part of this army. There is no exclusion. What you are and what you do is useful in this army. Let me say that one more time because some of y'all didn't get that. What God made you and the gifts that he gave you, they are useful, valuable, and cannot be done without in this army. This detachment of soldiers, this unit needs you. There's a word in here that's amazing. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. We are not an army according to the flesh. The word according right there literally means against, through, in, toward, by, because of, just as, or with respect to. So we do not, though we walk in the flesh, we are not an army against flesh, through flesh, in flesh, toward the flesh, by the flesh, because of the flesh, just as the flesh, or with respect to the flesh. I want you to catch that. That's incredibly important because we are an army, and what we do is not done to any flesh. We don't fight people. We don't fight people, and we don't fight like people. We're not trained against people, and we're not trained like normal people. Look at what it's amazing. It says, we're not trained against flesh. We're not trained through flesh activities. We're not trained in the flesh. That's why you got to be spiritual to get this. You can't get this in your flesh. You got to spiritually discern this stuff. We're not trained toward the flesh. We're not trained by the flesh. We're not trained because of our flesh. Nobody looked at us and said, yeah, you're fit. You can be in. Nope, you're not fit. You can't be in. Because like I told you, they would look at me and said, uh-uh. We're not trained just as someone who was in the flesh or with respect to our flesh. That's why somebody can be on their bed about to die and lead someone to Christ. Still doing warfare. Still a soldier. Still a soldier. They're 90, 100, 110, 120-year-old individuals that are just as good of a soldier as they were. Wasn't that Caleb? Give me my mountain. I know I might look old, but the fire inside of me is just as good as it used to be. Watch this. Verse 4. The weapons of our warfare. A weapon is an instrument, tool, or weapon. I want you to remember something. Isaiah 54. I talked about this with our volunteers, and I've quoted it to you. Right before it says, the weapons of our warfare, right before it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. Right before that, it says, I have given you the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire and brings forth an instrument for its use. This weapons is an instrument, and it's a generic term, which means that it has to be defined according to its context. Now, I'm losing some of y'all. Some of y'all are like, I hate English class. So I want to make sure that you come back to me because this is important. This word weapons means instrument, tool, or weapon according to its context. So this word tool could be used for a frying pan. But it wasn't talking about frying chicken. It's talking about doing warfare. So this word weapon means whatever it needs to be for that moment of battle. Some of y'all missed that in the spirit. I'm going to help you back. I'm going to help you get. Jesus is whatever you need him to be. In that moment of battle. You need a comforter? He's called comforter. You need love? He's called love. They call him mighty warrior when you need a mighty warrior. Whatever you need, that's what he is in that moment. Now watch this. The context, the context determines the weapon. The word warfare there means an actual military campaign. It literally means an attack. So think of an assault or a coup. So the weapons of our warfare, in the context of something trying to take something away from you. So it literally means that there has been an attempt to overthrow righteous power in your life. And you are his righteousness. So darkness is attempting to prevent you from understanding what righteousness means. It's attempting to stop you from applying your righteousness in every situation, and it's attempting to get you to back off of your authority and grant darkness a permission to oppress you and to steal ground or territory that rightfully belongs to you. So that military, the weapons of our warfare, that warfare literally means a campaign against who you are. That's why it's so important that you understand that you are Christ's representative. You represent Christ. at every moment that the devil attacks who you are. Well, I don't get this. Why are you talking about all these words? It's important that you don't just gloss over this scripture. Because this scripture is critical to you understanding who you are in Christ. This understanding will end a generation of self-harm.
Yeah, that's right.
It will.
Yeah.
When you understand that whatever triggers you to harm yourself is a tool of the enemy to attempt to take from you what it is that God has rightfully given you.
Yeah.
And he understands that the only way he gets to take it is by going to war with you, waging war against you. It's a coup. It's trying to take away power that does not belong to him. So I believe this. I believe that this is the beginning of you understanding who you are in Christ and how to apply that in a way that you've never applied it before. We're being called to a fight, y'all. Every single solitary day I see it, something different happens. Something happens. Something happens. Something happens. Something happens. But I want to say this publicly. And I want it archived. I'm glad we got a camera in here. Taylor, I'm glad you came back. Taylor, come here. Michaela, come here. Isabella, come here. Come here. Come on up here. Come close to me like you like me. Like, help me convince these people that you actually like me. It's important that we celebrate. Y'all too, come here. Anybody that's a part of Boswell, come here. It's critically important that you celebrate victories in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Critically important. A young man, and I don't think y'all think he have a problem me saying his name? I didn't think so. Anybody that called himself Clearance Rack. Right? A young man by the name of Matt, who was a professed agnostic, began to ask Isabella. That these people are a part. Taylor started a group at Boswell called 1440 on campus. These people are all key players in that group. A young man who is friends with Isabella was talking with her about her belief. And she just felt led to let him listen to a podcast that had her testimony on it. It stopped him cold in his tracks. And so for the past 4 weeks, they've been ministering to this young man. And I can tell you this, you guys did an amazing job showing him love. It was not, I don't want you to think that it was whatever you said or the sermons that were preached. You did a wonderful job teaching. You've done a wonderful job teaching. You've done a wonderful job teaching. I mean, the teaching that goes forth at Boswell is amazing. I've got video of it. You got to see it. Like, it's amazing. Like, people standing up going, hey, you need to know who you are in Christ and God loves you. And we need to realize that we can heal the sick, raise the dead in a classroom on a public school campus. So they've been ministering love to this young man for the past 4 weeks. Yesterday, it almost makes me want to tear. I'm going to not cry about this, for real. Yesterday, in the parking lot of a public school where everybody has said, Kelsey was there, where every person, people have stood up and, you took Jesus out of school. You took Jesus out of school. They taking Jesus out. Let me tell you something. Jesus is in Boswell. In the parking lot of a public school, we led that young man to Christ. The victory was so much bigger than Mac, because Mac was, hey, I just want to make sure that it's right, it's the right timing. And it was great. It was like nobody got in his face, do you love Jesus? If you don't, you're going to hell. But when he gave his heart to the Lord, it was a genuine, he made that decision.
That's right. That's awesome.
What was even more just awesome was seeing seven people in that circle. There was about seven of us out there in that circle, laying hands on him, praying for him in the shadow of a public school where they said there there was no Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Take that, Satan, kicking the teeth. That is what spiritual warfare will do. That did not happen because somebody stood up with a persuasive speech. That happened because she's been praying for the school, and she's been praying for the school, and she's been praying for the school, and y'all have been believing for the school and praying for the school. That's how that happened. It's called the year of the open door. It's called the year of the open door. And so I want to end with this. Lori, just stand up and shout real good. Actually, somebody run her this microphone. And then we're going to be done. I know service is over. They flashing me the green sign. But you got to hear this. Tell them what the Lord showed you.
Okay.
Blue mic.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
It's on.
The little green light's blinking at me. Hello. Hello. It died.
Come stand next to me. Come. Just talk here. Hang on.
Okay, talk.
Okay.
There we go.
Here we go.
Praise God.
Okay. Hello? Hello?
Orange mic.
Hello. There we go. Okay. When Pastor John was up here earlier tonight talking about how God wanted to work in concert with y'all, the Lord reminded me, I was back there worshiping the Lord, that while I was praying over y'all and about your dreams and where he wants you to go and what he wants y'all to accomplish in the campus clubs, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want their dreams fulfilled because they are an open door. When I open that door for them, then they become an open door through which I can work through in the place that I have put them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can work in concert with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not them just talking to a God. Now God has somebody that he can say, hey, I need you to pray for here. Or look, go over there and do that. He's got somebody, and he needs people that will work with him. And those people are you.
Yeah.
You are, when you dream a dream, and there's a college that there's no way that you can go to.
Katie Mooney.
When you dream a dream that God has put, that you know God has put inside you, and you won't let go of it, there's a reason he put that dream inside of you, because your assignment is on that campus.
Mm-hmm.
And that campus, you are the Caleb saying, that's my mountain, and I'm taking it.
That's absolutely
that's
right.
That's my campus,
yeah.
And I'm taking it.
Yeah.
That's my assignment, so the victory's already mine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. That open door has started to unfold, not just in the supernatural, but it started to manifest itself in the natural. Last week, Katie Mooney posted on Facebook that she had a supernatural door open for her to attend TCU. It was thought that she was going to have to attend community college and is attending TCU. This week, one of the other people who's not here that's a part of campus clubs got a supernatural provision, a full ride to Texas Tech University.
Woo!
This warfare is real warfare, and it works, and the victory, when it's enforced, will unlock the strongholds in your life. Stand on your feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking about warfare. The Lord showed me a couple of things the other couple weeks ago about the courtroom and the battlefield. You don't ever want to go to the battlefield without having already been in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the judge, which is the Lord, decrees a thing, you've got the word on it. You've got the judgment has been rendered and the word has already been spoken, right? It's a done deal.
That's right.
It is finished. So when you have spent time with the Lord, you've got a word from the Lord, the judgment has been rendered. But how many of you know that when the judge hits his gavel and decrees a sentence that that person doesn't always do what that judgment. Sometimes the court has to come back and arrest them to make sure that they do what the judgment has been ordered, because they didn't do that. Well, sometimes the devil is not just because you said one time, you know, devil, I bind you, get out of here. Well, it doesn't always happen like that.
That's absolutely right.
So you have to continue to speak the word just the way Jesus did. The devil came at Jesus once, he came again, and he came again, and then he left him for a season. Well, the devil's going to come at you, even though you've got a word from the Lord, you got it in the courtroom. When he comes back at you, he's got the word with a lie. You've got the word. You keep speaking the word. You keep speaking the word, just like Jesus did again and again. And then you'll get that. He'll leave you for a season.
That's absolutely
because
right.
You win the victory by speaking the word of God.
Katie Mooney, how many times did people tell you you're going to have to go to the community college?
Yeah.
She ain't going to community college.
Amen.
Listen.
Woo!
And listen, there's nothing wrong with community college, but if God said TCU, then it's TCU.
Yeah.
Praise God. Say this. Say, I'm a warrior.
I'm a warrior.
And I stand on the word of God.
I stand on the word of God.
The weapons of my warfare.
The weapons of my warfare.
Are not carnal. They are mighty.
They are mighty.
I pull down strongholds.
I pull down strongholds.
I cast down arguments.
I cast down arguments.
I cast down imaginations.
I cast down imaginations.
No weapon
formed against me
shall prosper. And every tongue
that rises against me
in judgment will be condemned. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.